This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم: إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, the topic of my khutbah today is action points going forward. And this is building on the many khutbah on this topic of current affairs that I have been speaking on over the few months. A dear friend of mine told me, "You have given us an analysis of our situation, and I agree. Now give us action points going forward. What must we do?" So here is what I believe we must do: to take back the reins of our destiny from the hands of those we gave them to. Believe me, we are all in the game. In this game, there are no spectators. And the name of that game is life. If you think that you can sit untouched by what is happening in the game, in some imaginary spectator stand, then good luck to you. Stop smoking whatever you're smoking. If you are not playing in your own game, you are a player in someone else's game. In the first case, if you are playing in your own game, then you make the rules, you call the shots, and you win. In the second case, you are a pawn and will be sacrificed for the benefit of the owner of the game. You are dispensable to be used and discarded. Looking at our Muslim situation today globally, tell me which scenario looks familiar. Where do you think we are? Having said that, let me assure you that things are far from hopeless. There is great hope, even certainty of success. But like everything in this world, which Allah made, I didn't make it. You don't like it, go talk to Him. The rule Allah made was that to get something, you have to do something. Wishing doesn't get you anything. And so therefore, there is great hope provided we make the right choices. Like any game, this needs preparation, understanding the situation, a play strategy, flexibility to change, and commitment to the goal at all cost. With that, we can win. Without it, get ready for slavery, not only for yourselves, but for your children and their children and their children until somebody wakes up. If you read history, you will realize that there are forks in the road of destiny of nations. What happens after the fork depends on which branch you chose to walk on. I can give examples from the history of different nations, but we don't have time for that today. And if anyone is interested, then they can come and sit with me and I will explain these things to you. May Allah have mercy. But let me point out to you that I believe, from my knowledge base of history, of political science, and of global experience, that we are standing at a fork in our destiny. As the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and our choice, whether we like it or not, will affect our future generations, who will bless us or not, depending on what we did. I remind myself and you that in the life of every person, man or woman opens a window when they have the opportunity to make a difference. Once the window shuts, our life is over, even if we remain alive, because to live is not merely to draw breath. Our window is open now. What we choose to do will be our legacy. Choose wisely, because we will be judged by our choice, by history, and on the day of judgment when we stand before Allah. The best guidance is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which you can clearly see the sense of destiny that he lived with. He took decisions that colored centuries and never allowed exigencies to force him to take short-term or short-sighted decisions. He never sacrificed the principle for immediate gain at the cost of long-term results. For example, he did not accept the conversion of the people of Taif when they put the condition that they would pray but not pay zakat. He ruled that the one who separates salah from zakat is not Muslim. This ruling guided Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu years later, when he faced the crisis after Rasulullah passed away and he was the Khalifa, Khalifatul Rasulillah. When Rasulullah came to Medina, there were three things he did first. He started construction of his masjid, he formed the Ummah of Faith, the Ummah Muslimah, and he formalized the covenant which laid down the rules of interaction between the different groups who lived in Yathrib. Each of these was a generational project. The masjid was not simply a place to pray, but was the epicenter of the community, a place where everything was a collective need and it was addressed. Starting with salah, which is the most important of all needs, our connection with Allah. But all collective matters were addressed in the masjid. Al-Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif was the place for salah. It was the office of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the court of law. It was the madrasa, the communication center, the command center in times of war, even on occasion, a temporary prison. It was the nerve center of the community. If anyone wanted to know what was happening in Medina and with the Muslims, they would know if they came to the masjid. The masjid was alive, open, populated, buzzing with activity all day long. The masjid was the place where the ummah collected as one ummah and you could feel the brotherhood of faith. Today we build masajid and give them sectarian names. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول. فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. The second thing that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did was to form the Muslim Ummah, the Ummah Muslimah, the brotherhood of faith of Muslims, where he paired one Muhajir with one Ansari, creating bonds that transcended all traditional boundaries of tribe and color and race and family and ethnicity and social status. For example, he paired Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu who was a Persian slave with Abu Darda al-Ansari, one of the chieftains of the Khazraj. And he paired Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, who was also a freed slave, Abyssinian slave, with Abu Ruwayha al-Khatami radiallahu anhu, and others. I want us to focus and look at the situation as it was in Medina at this time and see what Rasulullah was focused on. Medina was a habitation around an oasis where people of different tribes and ethnicities and religions lived in their enclaves and forts. They had been hostile to one another for decades and had lost almost all their leadership. They were mainly farmers who grew dates and grapes and had a thriving winemaking industry. They also did some trade but were not a major trade center like Makkah. When they decided to invite Rasulullah, they became the focus of enmity for the Quraysh and instigated new tensions within their own people, which gave rise for the first time to a group which we know as the Munafiqeen, the hypocrites. I'm giving you this quick thumbnail sketch so that we can appreciate Rasulullah's ability to focus on his global vision, even when there were many things locally clamoring for his immediate attention. And the way he did that, he took care of the immediate issues also. There are three reasons that enabled him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do that. One, recognizing the window of opportunity. He realized his position in time and space, which seems to be going way over our heads. Identifying himself as an owner. He said, this is my business. I have to do it. Not somebody else. And therefore, seeing that as a responsibility, as his responsibility, to do something to change things. And the third one was remaining focused on long-term results of his actions in the context of his role and responsibility, in his case, as the messenger of Allah. Learning from this, there are five things that we must do today. Number one, bury our differences, no matter what they are, and focus on common goals and challenges. For this, we must leave what belongs to Allah to Allah. What is that? The faith between the person and Allah. That is between the person and Allah. You are not appointed a guardian over that faith to say, this is kafir, this is Muslim, this is Shia, this is Sunni, he will go to Jahannam, I will go to Jannah. Not your job. Jannah does not belong to you. Jahannam does not belong to you. It's not your job to send anyone here or there. Leave what is Allah, what belongs to Allah, leave it to Him. And collaborate with others to solve common problems. The problem belongs to all of us. Drug addiction belongs to all of you. Children going all over the place in schools and so on belongs to all of you. Yes or no? And you are not going to solve that unless you come together. This is the first and most critical lesson of the seerah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and He mentioned this twice in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna hadhi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budur. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wa inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Focus on our Rabb. Focus on the ta'alluq with our Rabb. Second one, we must stop complaining about circumstances and situations and this happened and that happened and start asking, therefore, what can I do about that? It starts with thinking, so ask. Do we have a think tank? How many think tanks do Muslims have? Do American Muslims have? Are there think tanks even in our four-letter organizations that we belong to? I gave you statistics in my khutbah a couple of weeks ago about the think tanks. And the title of the khutbah is Chains in the Mind. What happened? Anything? Do we understand strategic thinking? I hear this term bandied about, like you're talking about, you know, cabbages. Do we even know how to evaluate knowledge and scholarship? Strategic thinking is based on a background in history, the discipline of structured strategic thought, scenario generation and planning, emotional discipline, the power of concentration. Success comes to those who have the ability to concentrate on one thing over long periods of time. As I told you, you don't like it, talk to Allah. Success does not come to people with 30-second attention spans. People with 30-second attention spans, if they are mammals, they are called monkeys. If they are fish, they are called goldfish. Find me a goldfish which changed the world. We have to work together and create a collective strategy. Number three, become visible and influential through service and communication. And the two-letter word for that, phrase for that is get involved. Volunteer in schools and local government projects. Raise money and donate to schools and town development projects. Then get elected to school boards and task forces. Contribute to common social welfare projects to provide food, shelter, medical aid, education, fostering children and emergency services. Ask how many foster care organizations are there in this community. Ask how many organizations are here who take care of refugees coming from different countries. Ask what is the religion of the refugees who are coming here. Ask who those refugee care organizations belong to. You know the answers to all of this, right? Then ask why. We complain. Muslim children, Muslim orphans are being sent off to foster parents who are not Muslim. You know why? The $64,000 answer is because you don't stand up and say, I want this child. I will take care of it. You want to be in denial? Be in denial. You don't like me for that? God don't like me. That's why in Urdu there is a Mahavira. They say the reason why the rooster is slaughtered and cooked is because he wakes up people. So we need to fund. I'm not talking about $10, please. You have to write the letter one, the number one, and then keep adding zeros until it makes a difference. We have to endow chairs in universities to support research areas that will benefit the neglected and oppressed in society. Guess who that is? Create a fund to support students, researchers specifically in political science, in law, in journalism and media. Focus on those who are already there. It doesn't have to be your children, but it has to be your money because nobody else will do it. And because, frankly, if you don't like me, don't like me, but you have no influence over your children. If you could make your son or daughter go to journalism and political science, I said, cheers, all power to you. You know you can't do that. So fund somebody who's in there already because you need that. We need people with specific knowledge. Enthusiasm and good nature and stuff is not a substitute for competence. Learning does not come by osmosis through the air. You have to slog. You have to work very hard for it. You can't say, I have a short attention span. Go ahead, join the club of sheep. They're necessary. But if you want to lead, if you want to solve the problems of your community and the world and have generations take your name in dua with love and respect, you have to work for it. As I told you, I don't make the laws. Allah made the laws. Number four, when representing our case, speak in terms of justice and human rights and economy, not Islam and Muslims. Think about how to benefit all of society. I'm saying don't speak in terms of Islam and Muslims for a very simple reason. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a hoot. Speak in terms of how whatever is happening affects them. And the two good reasons to benefit all of society, because when the tide rises, all boats rise. Number one reason. Number two reason, you cannot make your boat rise without making the tide to rise. When you are a minuscule minority, the only way you will benefit is when the majority sees a benefit for itself in benefiting you. It's not about being selfless, it is pure self-interest. And number five, the last, be prepared for the long term. Be prepared for the long term, which means that a lot of you, alhamdulillah, today this masjid is full of a lot of youngsters. So it doesn't apply to you, but are people of my generation, you're not going to see the results of this. But if you want a big, beautiful building to stand, and imagine all of us are rocks, we are all granite, or we are all marble, and every one of us says, I want to be part of this project, I want to be part of this building, but I must be on the facing, on the cladding which the world sees, believe me, that building will never stand. Because you need blocks of granite to say, I am ready to go into the foundation to be buried and never to be seen. Known only to the builder, in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until there are blocks which are ready to go into the foundation, never to be seen, the building will never stand. And if you think I'm exaggerating, ask yourself, where, what happened, what did the Sahaba, I mentioned this with all the names in a previous khutbah, what did the Sahaba who died before Fatah Makkah? They did not see the victory of Islam. Not one of them. But they did not stop working. And the result is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran differentiated and said, those who came to Islam after Fatah Makkah are not like the ones who came to Islam before Fatah Makkah. Allah honored them. That is where we are standing today. We are standing today with a task which is more difficult than the task of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know why? Because he was the Rasul, he had direct access to Allah. Neither I nor you are the Rasuls of Allah. We do not have direct access to Allah, number one. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked with ready-made experts. He did not teach Khalid bin Walid how to hold a sword. He did not need to. He did not teach Khalid bin Walid battle strategy. He did not need to. He did not teach Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma how to make administrative and political decisions. He did not need to. He did not teach Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu and Al Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu how to take financial decisions. They were experts. All that he needed to do was change their focus, and he had a whole group of experts at his call. Today, we have to first wake the people up. We are talking to people who don't know the heads from the tails. We have people, if you talk to them, they don't like you talking to them. But that's your task. Don't complain. That is your task. If you don't like the task, go home. That is the task. It's a more difficult task than the task that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. So cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tahajjud fard on yourself. Fall in sujood and cry before Allah. And say, Ya Rab, your Nabi used to stand here and ask you. And today it is me.
He will have mercy on me because nobody else will. Nobody else will have mercy on me, not even my brothers. So you have mercy on me.
رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تبارك ربنا وتعاليت. نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين. اللهم شتت شملهم ودمر ديارهم ومزق جمعهم. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كل. لا إله إلا أنت. آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، عضو يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر. والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.